The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the hosts and not those of Cedarbrook Community Church or Mountain View Community Church.
Hi, this is Stefan Vaz with Streetlights in Athens, Greece, and you are listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McCabe.
Back, Youth Ministry Sherpas Podcast, episode 34.
Helping youth workers to keep going. This episode of Youth Ministry Sherpas is sponsored by Better Call Saul.
That's right.
If you need a lawyer, you better call Saul.
Oh, my God.
Saul Goodman. Have you watched that?
I haven't. I want to, but I just
haven't. You haven't watched any of it?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
So good.
It's fantastic.
Is it?
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I'm Matthew.
And I'm Steve.
We're the Youth Ministry Sherpas. Glad to have you along.
Hey, some of you might be new listeners. We're hoping.
We met you at the National Youth Works Convention this past weekend, and if we did, welcome.
Yeah.
Glad to have you.
Thanks for tuning in. We're going to spam your email like crazy.
No, we're not. No, we're not. We promised we wouldn't
no,
do that.
No, we wouldn't do that.
We hope some of you are sporting your new Sherpa t-shirt that you won at our booth.
Yeah. Did anybody roll a 2 or a 12?
Well,
we'll find out.
Yeah.
Because we're actually recording this before the
convention. So we don't know if anybody did, but we're certainly hoping because we do have some shirts we want to give away.
We do. They're going to be cool. So hopefully some of you are wearing those while you're listening to this.
That wow, would be great. That'd be like crazy,
that's
right?
Like super serendipitous
I know,
right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, we're back from the conference. Well, when this drops, we'll be back from the conference.
Absolutely.
Having had a blast out in St. Louis. And so it's Thanksgiving week.
It is Thanksgiving week.
Which is a great week for youth ministry because it's usually super chill.
Pretty chill.
And I need this week.
Can't have any Wednesday night. Do you have Wednesday night program the night before Thanksgiving? No, who would
of course
come,
not.
Right?
No. Yeah. No.
So you get Wednesday, everybody goes home early on Wednesday, and then you get all day Thursday. What do you do for Thanksgiving? What's the
Yeah, we alternate.
Tradition?
We alternate between my family and Karen's family, and things have changed over the years now that our parents have gotten older, so traditions have, you know, they're not like they used to be. So we're going up to my sister-in-law's house. We'll be there with my boys and my sister-in-law and her 4 kids. So
nice.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
There you go.
I think my in-laws will probably make it. They're not doing so great, but I think they can,
they can make the trip
for that day. Yeah, they live about 30 minutes away from where we're going to be. So
okay, it's not bad.
Yeah. It'll be good.
Just eat lots of food.
Lots of good eating and some football.
There you go.
That's about all I need and a good nap. So apple pie, pumpkin pie, turkey, and a nap.
And a nap.
And football.
And life will be great, won't it?
Yeah, how about you? What are you doing?
Honestly, I don't even know if we've made our plans this year. We're around.
Okay.
We don't travel anywhere. Our families both live.
Yeah.
Well, my family lives pretty far away, and my wife's family lives with us.
Right.
But actually, this time of year, they're actually gone. They're in Wisconsin. So
okay.
It's just 6 of us.
Yeah.
And typically, we try to find another family or two in the church who don't have family around and aren't traveling. And I like to host. I like to make a turkey. It's kind of one of my specialties.
Nice.
I like to put a turkey in the oven and work it all day, make mashed potatoes, and I'm kind of a traditionalist. Like I don't need all the bells and whistles. On my Thanksgiving plate, I want turkey, mashed potatoes, stuffing, and gravy. Everything else,
really,
you just leave it. And I'm maybe a roll if it's a good soft
a bonus
roll. But honestly, if those were the only 4 things on the Thanksgiving table, I would be as happy as could be. I would eat like 3 plates of it, and then later I would make a turkey sandwich.
Right.
And it would be glorious. That's really all I need. I want to throw the football around a little bit in the yard if it's a decent day, and I want to sit on my backside and watch somebody else play football.
Okay.
That'd be great. Are there any good football on the schedule? Are Steelers playing on Thanksgiving this year?
No, Steelers are not playing on Thanksgiving this year, so I don't know. It doesn't matter to me.
It's just good football, right?
Yeah, I don't care.
All right.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So, I've heard of people doing things other than turkey on Thanksgiving. You ever heard of that?
No.
I have friends who do Mexican on Thanksgiving. Of course, he's from Puerto Rico, so, Ray.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But honestly, I like turkey, and it's the one day you're supposed to eat
it.
Like, I don't know why you'd go
I'm good
a different
with it.
Direction.
I'm good with it on Thanksgiving, yeah. Christmas,
I
can go a different direction.
Mexican once a week.
Yeah.
Maybe
good
twice.
Point. Good point. Yeah, okay. I'm good with that.
All right.
It'll be fun.
good times. So yeah, so Thanksgiving week. So
The thing I love about it is that it's like the pause after a crazy fall.
True. Usually coming out of retreat season. And,
yeah.
Just a hard kind of couple of months of just getting everything off the ground and maintaining momentum, and then you get this like deep breath.
Yeah, from kickoff through Thanksgiving just feels like a sprint to me. So when Thanksgiving week comes, man, I just feel great. Like all the stress and all the pressure is gone, and just lay back and chill out. It's great.
So would you say that you're thankful for Thanksgiving?
I am thankful for Thanksgiving. So thank you, pilgrims, for instituting this wonderful tradition so many years ago. We appreciate you.
Absolutely. And choosing a Thursday, because then you got to get Friday. There's no point in going back to
of
work
course.
On Friday. You get a long weekend. Man, it's so
of
nice.
Of course, unless you're preaching that weekend, which
yeah,
I'm not this
you're
year.
You're not this
so
year. Okay,
I'm pretty
good.
Excited about
that's
that.
Good.
Yeah. So we thought we'd talk about being thankful today because, you know, obviously it's Thanksgiving week, but it's just such a great reminder to us in what we do to live from that place of gratitude and contentment.
To lead as a youth leader from a place of gratitude, which is sounds like it's simple. Sounds like it's just duh. Yeah, that's what I should do. But
it's not so easy.
It's pretty easy to kind of get away from it.
Yeah, yeah. I had a season in my ministry here at this church where I felt like I deserved something I didn't have, maybe some sense of entitlement, just some discontent with maybe the way leadership was directing the church or things that were happening, and was getting frustrated, and it was just kind of pissy, to be honest. Is that, can I say that on this podcast?
I think you can.
Okay.
I think it's honest.
Yeah,
yep.
Kind of whiny and just discontent, and I think I was in that season for a little while, and I don't think that was a very good place to be.
No, probably not. Did others notice you were in that season?
They did, and they actually called me to account for that.
Oh,
and,
they did.
Yeah, I underwent a little bit of correction in that from some leaders, and had to work through that. And some good things came from that, I think. And I came out on the other side of it really grateful for this church and the ministry that I get to be a part of here. So, yeah, it's a really important thing to kind of step back from and look at and say, that's not who I want to be.
Right.
I got to stop that.
Yep.
Yeah. And I don't know. I got a lot of that from you. I admire your celebration of your church all the time as one of your strongest qualities, Matthew. So thanks for helping me along the path.
Well, absolutely. But I mean, for me, I think I have that because I had a couple of experiences with other churches that weren't as smooth. And so I have a pretty good appreciation for really how good that I do have it at my church. Not to say that I love everything that we do.
Of course.
And everything is peaches and roses. I mean, there are difficult times and there are questions that I have. And
people you get frustrated with.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, it's going to happen everywhere.
But by and large, I mean, I really got it good.
Yeah.
And I think I know I really have it good because I know what not good feels like and looks like. And
right.
So it's pretty easy to live in a place of gratitude when you kind of have that perspective. You have that compare and contrast. And
right.
So I'm glad I can help you out, but you know, don't make me out to be a saint. It's actually the experiences I've had have put me in that place. And trust me, it's a good place to be. It's such a better place to live in gratitude than to live in frustration or anger or disappointment. It's just much fuller to just be thankful.
It is. And it's really an attitude, and it sounds cliche, but it's an attitude that we choose.
Yes.
Because we could all complain, and we do. And there's nothing wrong with venting, you know, our frustrations in the right context.
You need some safe places and people that you can vent and do that with. But by and large, you need to find a place to, you need to celebrate. You need to be excited. You need to be vocal about how thankful you are and how grateful you are to work where you work, to get to do what you do.
Yeah,
I think
it's
that's
fantastic.
Important.
And I think that comes across in our leadership. It comes across in our leadership before the students, right?
Oh, for sure.
You know, if we're coming into the youth ministry every Wednesday or Sunday or whatever with this, you know, kind of lamenting those who aren't there or, you know, being really frustrated with what's happening in a certain kid's life that isn't what we want it
to be. Yep.
And just kind of harping on that, like that's a downer. That'll
sure.
drag us down.
And you're the leader. You're the person people are looking to. And so if you got kind of that melancholy, you know, woe is me kind of attitude going on, that's going to spread. And not to mention what we can communicate. I mean, I remember learning this the hard way because I had a kid call me out. I had a student call me out. I remember it was, you know, I can't remember the specific, you know, Sunday or whatever it was, but I remember it was prior to youth group and, you know, people are coming in and we're milling around. It's kind of that like upfront stuff. We're waiting to get started.
Right.
And I remember it was a low night, you know, lower than we're normal. Like there were less people there than there are normally, which, you know, for somebody who kind of is, you know, I don't know, kind of counts the heads every now and again.
Right,
and there's a little bit of self-worth involved there, which is not healthy, but I'm just being real.
The more people who show up, the better youth pastor you are.
And something
right?
like that, right? You know, and I know that's not true, but we feel that sometimes.
Yeah, we do.
And so I made the comment, like, where is everybody?
Mm.
And I had a student just, and I mean, I don't think they thought about it. I don't think they thought, like, oh my, they just said, well, what am I, chopped liver?
Nice.
And it cut me deep because I was like, I am being ungrateful for the fact that Johnny or Susie or Andy or whoever it was wasn't there.
Right.
As opposed to being grateful that this kid who was standing right next to me was there. And they came to receive something, to be a part of something. And I'm over there just being pissy, to use your word, that eight other people aren't there to get it. And that really changed me. I was like, you know, I have to be a little more careful.
And we've all said that.
Oh, sure.
We've all said that.
Sure.
And I hear students say that sometimes too. And now that I have thought about that, I don't say that anymore.
Yeah.
And if a student says that to me on a low night, I look at them and I say, well, you're here, you know?
Let's like, just enjoy who's here. Let's be thankful that God brought this group of people, these people, into this place he's got plans for them tonight. We need to live into that, and we need to be thankful that we get to be a part of it.
And sometimes the perspective isn't even accurate. I remember not too long ago, one of my leaders said, well, where is everyone tonight? And I looked around like, this is a pretty high attendance.
This is just about everybody.
This is pretty good. Yeah, what are you complaining about?
Who are you talking about?
I don't know who you're missing, but I don't know that they're not here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I think it can affect the way that we interact with our volunteers.
Yeah, it does.
Are we grateful for what they can give us because they are, after all, volunteers with families and jobs and lives outside of student ministry? Are we grateful for what they can give us, or are we constantly just not happy for what they can't give us?
Right.
Or what they can't do.
There's, you know, we all have this certain expectation and we value what we do so much that we think everyone is going to be all in all the time.
They value it the same level we value it.
Yeah, because this is all we think about. We've mentioned that lots on this show. And that isn't the case for our volunteers. This isn't all they think about. Youth ministry is not their life. It's not 24/7 to them.
Right.
But it's easy for us to kind of place that same burden on their backs and the same expectation that they're going to care and be as deeply invested as we are. And I think there's a balance. You know, we need to set a bar.
Sure. You have to have a standard that people have to meet.
People have to meet that standard, but there's got to be so much grace in that because they've got a life.
We just don't always know
what
road they're walking.
Exactly. I was sharing with you offline, you know, I have a volunteer this year that she's just a sweet person, but she's been struggling with some personal stuff, and I just have to have the ultimate amount of grace for her. I need to care more about her as a human being and as a friend and a fellow sister in Christ than what she's doing for me. And if my attitude is, you know, you're not getting the work done as a volunteer, that's a bad place to be. I don't want to be that leader.
Yeah. You want to be grateful for when they can be there and what they can give and what they can do, as opposed to being frustrated with what they can't.
And then really celebrate the seasons of life when the volunteers do have the time to give and they're all in and they're deeply invested. Like, you know, make a point to really celebrate and be grateful for them in that season.
Yeah.
That's a valuable thing.
For sure. One of the things that I struggle with is being grateful for involved parents. You know, it's such a dichotomy for me. It's so hypocritical of me because I spend so much time complaining about parents who are just 100% clueless. Like, they don't even know when the retreat is because they're not paying attention. Their kid is just drifting through life, and they've moved on. Like they've started empty nesting before their nest was empty, and I get mad about that. But then when I got parents who are emailing me all the time, right, or calling me, or hey, can I ask about this, or can you tell me what to say? What are you going to do on the retreat? And I should be grateful that they care enough to be asking those questions, but yet I find myself going like, oh, just let it go. Just trust me,
I'm grateful that you're as annoyed by it as I am.
Does that make you feel better, Steve?
Yeah, it does. No, that's funny because I actually have had parents who, you know, they ask a lot of questions. They come across like they're really involved, but then they're still clueless.
Right.
Yeah, like that's
tough.
That drives me nuts.
That's
yeah.
tough.
But I hear what you're saying. I think it's good to be appreciative of parents, even in their quirkiness,
even in their tough moments.
Yeah, and just appreciate the place that they're coming from. It's not easy,
right?
And one of the things that we've talked about is, you know, when we were younger and maybe just getting started as parents, or maybe didn't have kids yet, our evaluation of the parental situation in youth ministry was much different
sure.
than it is now.
Yeah, it's changed quite a
now
bit.
Now that our lives, we're so busy raising kids and we see all the demands placed on families and all the pressures and the scheduling and all that, like, we just have more patience
yep.
for the parents who are trying to make decisions about what their kids are going to do and their level of involvement and stuff. So, yeah. it puts us in a place where we can step back and just be grateful for people who care enough.
Yeah. yeah. And again, I think for me, like, this situationally, I'm in a situation that helps me be more because I volunteer at my kid's school,
right.
which is it's a tougher school in a tougher area, and I volunteer with the football program, and this last Friday night was senior night, you know, so they're honoring the seniors, and so they get to walk the track and get their name read and their plans for the future.
I know what you're going
to
say.
As the volunteer coach, had to walk with four players who had zero family members in attendance at the game to walk with them. I'm walking down the track with tears running down my eyes because I got these kids going, hey, coach, you trying to walk with me? Like, wait, why do I need to walk? You have to walk with you? So then the next phone call I get or email I get from a parent at church, I go, you know what, thank you. Thank you for actually
for annoying me today with your over-involvement
because I'll take over-involvement over zero involvement any day of the week for sure.
Yeah. Wow, that's a killer.
It's tough. Yeah, it's just tough. So it gives you an appreciation.
It does.
Again, those over-involved parents, because again, if I'm going to have the pendulum swing one way, I think I'd rather have it swing that way, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, I'd be most grateful for the perfectly balanced individuals.
I would be super grateful for that too, Steve. If you meet one of them, will you just let me know?
I heard of one once, but it was just a rumor. It was like Bigfoot.
Were they walking with Sasquatch? Yeah, I was going to say, like, did they have a unicorn as well?
Yeah, they did, and they were swimming with the Loch Ness Monster.
Okay,
yeah,
perfect.
Yeah.
Yes. So.
Another thing we thought of was just being grateful for the church, you know, and I mentioned in the beginning when I was frustrated and kind of not grateful and being ungrateful, but being able to step back and say, I'm really grateful for the church that is preaching the gospel, is trying to make a difference, who treats me really well, honestly,
right.
in the end. I've been treated really well here, and just being grateful for that environment. And trying to be grateful for the leaders above me, too. That's not always easy.
No.
And I'm sure there's people listening who have had moments of tremendous frustration.
Sure.
And maybe you're under that now. But to be able to step back, you know.
And find something.
Yeah.
You can always find something to be upset about or frustrated about or even angry about. I mean, that's always going to be there. We work for imperfect churches who are run by imperfect people. But if we were leading them,
people would be complaining about us.
Right. But I also think that if we can step back, like you said, step back and take a look, but what can I be thankful of? There's got to be something to be grateful for in your situation.
And celebrate those things.
And celebrate that. And
celebrate them publicly, even.
Live in that place. Because the other place is dark and terrible and
it
frustrating.
Is.
Live in this place. It's a better place.
Yeah. Which is why I love youth ministry.
Absolutely.
Because there's so many things about what we get to do that I'm just so grateful for.
What are you grateful for, Steve? As an individual leading in youth ministry, what are you thankful for? What are you grateful for this season?
I'm grateful that I get to do a job a profession, a career that's also a calling.
Yeah.
You know, so many people work in jobs that they may not love, they're not passionate about, and I get to do something that I'm passionate about that perfectly meshes with the gifts that God has given me and the temperament that he's given to me. What an amazing thing. I had no idea when I was 18 years old and I was going to college what I was going to do. I thought I'd be a sports broadcaster. And all those classes and all that, they all kind of led down this path that eventually ended up in youth ministry. And I realized my calling and my gifts were perfectly meshed together for the kingdom of God. Like, how awesome
That's so cool.
To have that opportunity to do something with your life that you know you were made to do.
Yeah. That's something to be super thankful
Absolutely.
For. Because I wonder what the statistics are. I bet you they're not high for the amount of people that actually get to do what they love to do or what they were built or made or called to do. I feel like it'd be much higher of people who are just working because
Look,
I got to make a living.
Sure.
And so, yeah, let's be grateful for the fact that we get to do what we get to do.
Yes.
Just straight up, like, I mean, there's lots of other things I'm grateful for, but that's a really good one, Steve.
Thanks,
nice
man.
Work.
Yeah, and we get to share that message with our students, that God has a calling on your life, a purpose for you, and if you find that perfect place for you, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
What a great thing.
One of the things I'm really have always been super grateful for over the years is the students. I think adults are all fine and well, but adults put on far more pretenses and masks and they're so grown up and they're so professional and they're so proper.
They're not nearly as fun.
I just love a student who, and I'm not saying students don't wear masks, they do, but there's something about a middle school and a high school kid that's so raw and just out there and they don't take themselves too seriously. Mostly because life hasn't made them yet. And I understand that will change, but there's something refreshing about being around being around students that I felt like over the years has kept me from taking myself too seriously and from being too grown up. And I'm just grateful that I get to spend a large amount of my days with high school and middle school students. Again, like there's not a lot of people that can do that without like getting the police, you know, tracking them and having lots of questions. But we get to do that. It's our job to be around high school and middle school kids. And I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah, that's kind of tied to the next one I was thinking of, is just the amazing opportunity to have so many relationships. You know, it's all about the relationships. Think of all the people that you've been blessed to work with.
Unbelievable.
To shepherd, to come alongside, to influence, you know, all the former students that now count you as a mentor or as a friend, all the current students that you get to pour into, the volunteers that have, you know, enriched your life as friends, as a community. What a great place to be. Think of all the people that you've known and worked with over the years that you just have poured into and have poured into you.
Mm-hmm.
It's tremendous.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And do weddings for former students. Or, you know, yesterday, two kids came back from college and I had the greatest conversation with them. And it was just so encouraging to reconnect with them and have them, like, care that I said hi to them and stopped to talk to them. Like,
that's awesome.
There's so much rich value in all of that.
Yeah.
That's unique to youth ministry, I think. Anything else?
Super grateful for people who take the time to say thanks. Is it okay to be grateful for people who are grateful?
Of course, especially if they give you gifts.
You know, the whole idea, isn't that lovely? The whole idea, and I've got an email folder full of it, and I have an actual file folder.
So do I.
In a drawer filled with like handwritten
things
where someone takes a moment to say, hey, like it meant a lot that you did this or that. You know,
that
thanks
file
for
keeps
this
getting
retreat.
Thicker too, man.
Thanks
it's
for this,
awesome.
You know, all the work on this retreat or this event. I'm grateful that. Again, what I've been called to do, what I've been paid to do, makes a difference.
Yeah.
And that people are thankful for that. Again, I think there's a lot of people doing jobs that nobody ever says, hey, thanks for doing that job. They just say, okay, here's your paycheck. You know, you did it. To be in a position where people are legit grateful and are able to express that. And I don't know, that I'm super grateful for that.
You know, it comes with complaints too.
Sure.
And those are hard.
Yeah, I have other file folders.
Well, that should be file 13. But I think that file that you have with those notes and cards and stuff, it's the essence of your life's work.
Sure, there. And that way when I get that complaint, I can just say, you know, let me go back to this other file and read a couple notes. Okay, back on track. I'm good.
Yeah, I had a girl give me a note at our last retreat, and her purpose was to make me cry.
Oh.
And she succeeded. She succeeded in glorious style.
Wild fashion.
Yeah, and oh my gosh. Those are just precious, precious moments. You know, just a funny thing I'm thankful for is I get to travel. When you became a youth pastor, did you ever imagine all the places you get to go? I mean, you got to go to Greece and go to Germany, and like, that's amazing.
I cannot believe the places that I have been in the job that I have.
I can't either.
It's so amazing. It's so cool. Yeah. Very thankful for that as well.
That's awesome. The last thing I thought of, and maybe this is a good place to kind of land the plane today, is I'm just really grateful for the community of friendships of fellow youth workers. Like, that has enriched my life so much. And we've talked about it before, but our local network here of youth pastors that we've been friends with for a dozen years, it's how we met, right?
Yep.
And we've become great friends through that. And there's others in that network that we consider really close friends. And there's such enormous value in those friendships. And now, since we started doing this dumb podcast, you know, like we've expanded that community. We've been to the DYM conference, met a bunch of people there. We've been to NYWC, and we've met a bunch of people there, and, you know, Facebook groups and stuff. And there's just such this great community of youth workers all over the place that I just feel affirmed by and part of this tribe. There's nothing else like being valued among your peers and your own people.
Absolutely. I'm with you on that 100%. I mean, some of the people we've met, again, even some of the people we've met, not even physically, we've just met them through this podcast, people who have kind of written back to us or been excited about what we're doing. Like, I'm thankful for those people because I'm a part of something bigger than myself. You know, it's so great.
We get to meet all these youth ministry legends.
Oh,
that,
I know.
You know, we're working on this new project, and what an amazing blessing that is to get to talk to people who have so much wisdom and experience.
Absolutely. Our first interview is amazing. Stellar. I cannot wait till we start releasing these Sherpa Legend episodes.
And, you know, those times we had just in our network getting away together, going to a conference, we did that a bunch of times, going up to
renting the house
up at the lake and sitting in the hot tub, swapping stories and telling tales. Those are some of the highlights of my 20 years at this church.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm really, really grateful for that.
Absolutely. I'm with you.
So
what are you grateful for out there, Sherpa listeners? Jump on Instagram or Facebook and just tell us, what are you thankful for? What are you grateful for in your ministry, in your church, with your students, with your volunteers, with your parents? Let's just enter a season of just being thankful for everything that God's doing.
So much good comes from our spirit when we're in a place of gratitude and thankfulness. Our ministry is so much better when we're in that place than we're in that griping, complaining place. So, you know, young leaders, it's good to get frustrated. It's cool.
Have your outlets for that.
Yeah.
But live in a place of gratitude.
Yeah.
Lead from a place of gratitude. It's just so much better.
I think it's biblical.
It might even be. You're right, Steve.
It might be.
I think you're onto something there.
Well, we're really grateful for our listeners. We're grateful that we've had this whole podcast experience this year. So thanks for listening to us and spread the word. Hopefully you've been encouraged by what we had to say today.
We'll be back next week with another episode. Until then,
Sherpas out.